Hello, you're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. I'm Alison Spittle. Thank you so much for listening. This week's show is Ryan Cullen. He is a comedian based in Dublin. He runs the Comedy Cellar, which is the longest running comedy club in Ireland, in the international. He also runs this like roast battle night as well that's on in Whelan's occasionally. Gets loads of Irish comedians to roast each other. I've never done the roast battle because I'm too afraid. But I really do enjoy watching him. And also, he used to be on Facts. Facts is a YouTube channel that was very popular, had over a million subscribers, and then just disappeared one day. I asked him a bit about that. He's also a one-liner comedian, normally. But I think he should do anecdotes, because he's so funny. Listen to it anyway, and I'll chat to you after. This is the
feeling. It's a bit warm. Blow out the candle in front of you. It contributes. I always do it like as if it'll somehow help, but it's grand. But yeah, will you please give a big round of applause for comedian Ryan Cullen, everybody? Hey! Great! Hey! You're very welcome.
Oh, I know. I love this place.
aren't you from Lifford?
I am. I'm from the border.
From the border. Perhaps, so, Ryan.
Yeah. But that's one of those ones where people go, oh, Donegal, that's lovely. And they think of like beaches and Bloody Sunday.
Yeah. You
know? it's a bit not as nice, especially Lifford. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I've stopped off at Lifford. A bus let me off there on the way to Ballybuffet.
Yes. Yeah.
And, the other side, is it Strabane on the other side?
Yeah, that's where my father's from.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how did your father and your mother meet?
That's a funny one, actually.
Oh, my good. delighted I am.
So Strabane, it's just a river in the thing. Strabane's Northern Ireland. Lifford's Donegal, and my mother, first of all, my father, height of the troubles, I remember the search point just between the two, like we would be searched. If I was going to visit my grandmother, you know, they would bring my mother out, they'd search her bag and empty it on the thing. I remember that even, I must have been only like 7, 8, because I think it was 99 when it all stopped.
Right.
But my father was dating a Protestant girl, which was a big no-no. Right, and the UVF caught him one day because of this. They heard about this and they the shit out of him
for dating their Protestant girl.
So he goes to hospital. He was in hospital a few days, and he said he got out of hospital. And while he was walking home, the IRA got him and kicked the shit out of him for the same thing.
Oh my god!
And then when he was like, they were like, why are you already bruised?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, they got me first. And then they were like really angry. They were like really childishly like, how dare they kick our man after they got him. So he was actually forced never to see her again. He actually didn't see her again. And then he just happened to meet my mother.
Nice. And she was Catholic.
She's Catholic, yeah. So it was all good for everyone. But
Are your parents still together?
They are, yeah.
Oh, good. It's a happy ending. Right,
yeah. It worked well, yeah. But when he tells the story, we're like, he's one of those people because of where he's from. Like, we'd all tell stories. I'd be like, oh, I remember when we were going out there. And then he'd go, do you remember the time that man exploded? And you know, like, to us, it's like one of those. we're all having fun. Like my mom, like, oh, it was great. Remember, we fell off that cherry tree, you know. And then my father would be like, 14 dead. I lost my jeans, were torn. But he would speak in it like an arm. We're all like,
Oh my gosh. So I see where your comedy comes from, because comedy comes from your dark one-liner comedian, I'd say. Wouldn't that be
it? Yes, that's fair, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it all comes from him, to be honest.
It sounds like it does. It really does. I blame my father for a lot of the decisions I've made as well.
The only way I can describe it is, and when he talks about his adolescent times, it always sounds like the plot of a Guy Ritchie film.
No way.
Right? Like, I had once, we were talking, it was Christmas, about 2 years, I think I've told this somewhere recently too. Basically, it was like, he tells this story and I met one of his old friends, that's what it was. And his old friend goes, oh, here's a story about your father, and tells it. And I told him to, like, can you tell this story just to make sure it was accurate and they weren't lying? So basically what happened was, this is awful, by the way, just so that's true. But they got a greyhound,
oh,
right?
No.
They're three friends. They got a greyhound, and they were like, this is a really fast greyhound, but if you inject him with this drug, no, it will win. No bother. So they were all excited. They apparently took all their money and bought the drug, and then just bet on their own dog, which was like last on the thing. It was like, again, Guy Ritchie stuff, right? They started, apparently it was like £300 or something in 1977, so they were it was a lot of money. And they said they kept enough just to drink that night. So they all got hammered before the match. And my dad goes, right, half an hour before the race, sorry. I've already injected him. And then apparently Louis, the other guy, I'm just incriminating him now, was like, I've already injected it. And then the other guy, John, was like, I injected him like an hour ago.
No!
And then they came down and the dog had overdosed and died.
Oh my God!
But he's telling this like it's a story. Like, I have other relatives on my mother's side horrified.
Oh my God!
I was like, oh, it's very funny.
Oh my God!
I caught him out though. I was like, well, if it died, that meant it's a non-runner, so you'd get your money back technically. was like, fuck off.
Oh, no. Oh my God!
I do get a lot of like a lot of my jokes would be. I do like taking jokes from like tragic situations.
Yeah,
and I think it used when it happens in real life, it's usually from nerves.
Yeah,
like for example, again, my father got really sick a few years ago, and like really really badly sick. I shouldn't be laughing when I'm about to say it. But they told him like he had smoked so much, right, that they were like there was only like 20% of the blood going into his legs that should be. Whoa. So they were like, we were sitting there, and this doctor came in and goes, listen, if you don't stop smoking, and there's a fair chance already that we're going to have to amputate your legs, so you need to stop. And he was like, well, and he was just like, well, then you need to amputate my arms, wouldn't you? And I was like, we're like, calm down, man. It's just, that's an awful. Do you know, I shouldn't even, this is personal, but funny as well. Same thing. We were told it was Christmas Day. This was about 4 years ago. It was Christmas Day. And he was told, like, right, you have to. They were like, they basically sat us down and were like, right, this is a very serious surgery. He basically had 8 bypasses in one go.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
And they were like, it's a very serious thing. There's a fair chance he might not make it. Right? And he goes to me. We were about to say, not a goodbye, or I'll hopefully see you on the other side. And he goes, come here. And I go, and he goes, do you remember all them times I called you a dickhead? And I was like, and he goes, I fucking meant it. And then they just slowly wheeled him off. And I was like, he better not die, because that is a terrible, he's fine. He's
That's a dedication to a joke, though,
yeah,
isn't
I know,
it?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's all like, yeah. It's so basically all those type of stories are usually, they're just not suitable at certain tables, and it's always funny when he brings them up.
That's,
you know,
hilarious.
He has no real, it's not even a filter, he's just no, yeah, well, he doesn't have a filter really, yeah.
Oh, and so you were, so around 99, the border checks had stopped.
Yeah.
What was it like being a very young lad around a border?
It didn't make any sense to me, and it still doesn't. Like, for example, they used to check they used to check us with machine guns. You get used to it. And like I was born in 1990. I shouldn't, you know, it was kind of all cammed, but you know, but I do remember it. I took it in. Like I remember 1999 when it all disappeared. The Good Friday Agreement. I knew I'd go visit my granny and there was nothing anymore. And I was like, what's this all about? really confused. But like, I remember once I came, there's all little things that you're not aware of. So my grandmother was he grew up in a place where all the houses were green, white and gold. They didn't even paint them, just other people painted your house green, white and gold. It's not like you had a saying. Like my grandmother had no idea what was going on. She was just one of those people like only know what happens in her estate. And refused to leave the estate. But so I'd be like, oh, see, there's a new mural at the side of your house. And she'd be like, what? Some Bobby Sands thing or whatever. But I remember I used to play when I was younger. And then you'd get old people. I remember an old guy, this is mental, shot me with an air gun in the back of the legs, right? And he was...
Well, like paramilitary style. And I was like...
but in my
head... One of the games that you played when you were young. Yeah, yeah.
I was bleeding all over the place. Reparation attack. I was like, I'm on your side. And then they were like, oh, you know. And my grandmother would be like, ah, oh, you know, Ryan, that's just one of them things. You see, because you're from Donegal Catholic. So they feel like you've left them behind. And I was like, I'm 9 years old. what do they think I did? Yeah.
Wow.
But it's always, when I think, that's one of those ones when it comes back to you. I was like, I remember that. And I was like, that's pretty mental. My grandmother's like, don't tell your parents now.
Don't tell your parents now.
Don't want a scene.
Oh my gosh. That really felt like a mini version of Northern Ireland. Like you just got shot in the legs there. Don't tell the authorities now. Yeah, just take it.
Don't tell anyone. I'll let you watch RoboCop.
The violence in RoboCop.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like it's all things like that, you know.
Like this is cool because I feel that you grew up in a semi-violent place. And what games did you used to play when you were young? Because I grew up in the Constance Estate in Westmead, and we used to like play games like where we would aim fireworks at each other and then light them. And we called it Kosovo, and it would just be. It was desperate. It'd be like a firework fight.
Used to play IRA.
You used to play IRA?
Which was one guy, and I know it's a common game, and everyone else calls it, when I tell, like, I'd tell someone, like, an American guy, like, oh, we call that tag. No, but ours was, like, one person has a secret or a word, and you have to run off, and you have to find him and kick him the shit out of him until he gives you the word.
Oh, my
That
gosh.
Was the game. So I play IRA, and I was like, nah, play football, will they?
Everybody loses.
Somebody would just come up to you and go, right, the word's pineapple. And then you have to run for your life. That was it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, terrible. Terribly. It's not even fun.
No, it's fun for me now. Like, I'm having a great time.
Somebody told me it was called Red Letters.
There is a... did you ever hear Red Light, 1, 2, 3? No, that's a different game.
I remember that. I think I've kind of played that. Yeah. We didn't have anything mad
specific, like Jerry Adams, Jerry Adams, 1, 2, 3. What's the time, Ian Paisley? It's Ulster says no o'clock. Amazing.
Kosovo. That's funny.
I should put that into my set. Or never say it ever again. Yeah. But it was just big at the time. Like that was the one we remember from the TV. I want to ask you a few bits and bobs. You're on this BBC show called Late License.
I was, yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
It was a sketch show.
Yeah.
It was like, it's one of those ones I've never, I wrote for shows, like, you know, I wrote for a couple of shows in Republic Italia and stuff like that. But it's completely different when you're trying to write it and be on it. So right. I thought it would be all plain sailing. And to be honest, it's usually just a lot of people going, no, we won't do that. Let's just put a pineapple hat on you and go woo. And I'd be like, and then you end up doing it, and then you're like, oh, I regret that one. You know, just pretend that never happened, you know. But yeah, it was good. It's a great experience. Like, it's completely different. It's way out of comfort zones and stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you have to do many other people's bits?
Oh, yeah. We all had to do each other's bits. It was a real all in type of job, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good fun.
Cool.
Especially because it's not like a massive budget ever for these type of things. Usually it's you in the street at 6 a.m. in Belfast. You know, and you think of it more glam. Even though it looks better on the TV, you expect there's something. It was just me and another dude.
Right.
You know, he's like, "Will we do that again?" I was like, "Nah, it's too cold." And then you watch it and you're like, "I wish you did it one more time." Yeah. You get people as well when they see you on TV and they'll be like, "You should have done this." And I'll be like, I know. I know.
You're dead right, I should have.
Yeah, exactly.
So you wrote for Republic of Telly as well.
Yeah, a couple of things, Callan's Kicks and stuff. And it's not, to be honest, it's not my sense of humor ever, usually. Because like I do all the dark jokes, but I couldn't do my stand-up jokes.
No.
Really, and on
telly?
Yeah. No.
Oh, you'd get protests.
It just wouldn't suit it, you know what I mean? So there's times, I remember once, I actually genuinely, this seems like I'm ripping on the Republic Telly. I'm not.
No.
But once I was with my mate and I'd written this joke and I was like, it'll never get in though. And I remember going, I guarantee you I can make this joke get in. And all I did was change, it was about a death or something, but I can't remember the joke specifically, but all I changed it was Hurley Bat and Ross Common. So I thought, bet you it'll get in just because I mentioned a mid-Irish thing and a Hurley Bat. Next week, first fucking joke on the show. I was like, yes. Thought it was so funny, like, you know, because you're writing, it's all writing in bulk, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you get those jobs because you were popular
Twitter.
On Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, did Twitter come before stand-up or did stand-up come before Twitter?
Actually, geez, I don't even know. No, it would have been, I would have done a lot of Twitter stuff. I just thought Twitter was easy. Just when there's something funny you could write, and I do one-liners and stuff, so I don't ever worry about numbers. Like I was always under the character count,
yeah.
Like, regardless. So it kind of suited my style. I remember I got in trouble a lot at the start with people. I got into a mad fight. The worst thing that ever happened, I think, on Twitter was I got into a mental fight with Tommy Robinson from the EDL.
Yeah.
And he called like, and I said something to him about.
I'm sure about he was wrong.
I wrote something like about him being the real terrorist, right? And he retweeted it. But I just went to the shower, and it was one of those ones when I came back. And I remember I was living in Rathmines. I remember coming out of the shower and like that. I kind of like rubbed the laptop because I just went to the shower afterwards, and it just went like 580 interactions after I went like that, and I went, oh, I'm gonna have to take the evening off now to deal with this. Like, and that was a scarier one. Only because it was all like death threats and right. Like mentioning parents, and they're like, "Oh, you're going to be in this. You're going to be in Doyle's on the 8th. I'll see you there," and all this stuff. And you're like, "Oh my god."
Oh yeah, my god.
But like, you know, the rest of them are kind of funnier. But that one was more. The worst one was actually I met a Stephen Gately joke.
Oh.
And I got a lot of guys from Sheriff Street. That was more because they are in Dublin.
Yeah. Like, oh, did you not know that before?
You know, they were all like, oh, I'll fucking. I was like, it wasn't even that bad of a joke or anything. It wasn't like shitting on them or anything. I can't even remember it either. They were like, oh, you're in the. I'll see you at the Inter at 8 o'clock there on Tuesday. And I was like, oh my God. I remember tweeting them, going like, listen, I just do dark comedy.
Oh, wait, there it is. Yeah.
I was like, I just do dark comedy and. I'm very sorry, like, you took a thing, and they went, all right, no problem, enough respect. And then they came to the gig and watched it, and were loving life. And I was like, God, I dodged a bullet there. Yeah, it's so funny. Oh, like, I didn't actually expect it to go my way. And they were, I was like, it's all right, man, enough respect. I know what it's like. I got that tweet, and then they all came, and I was like, oh, my God. I was terrified.
Oh, my God.
They were loving life then. Actually, I think I have a picture of one of the dudes. Like.
Oh, my God. That's got to be a difficult gig.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there any other kind of famous people you got in beef
with? I used to like annoy some celebs that I thought deserved it.
Okay.
Like Chris Brown called me a wanker.
Woo! Oh, fair play.
But you know what the surprising thing about that is? Chris Brown, a wanker's not like an American thing they call someone.
No.
I think he got it from, or I can't even remember. It was something to do with Rihanna and stuff. He was just being an arsehole. He keeps going, Chris Brown's one of those guys that keeps going, I learned my lesson. And then if you type in it's worse TMZ, where they'd be saying something in a nightclub every 2 minutes about it, and you're like, ah, fuck this game. I did, though, I got Ariana Grande blocked me off.
She's an angel, Ryan. What? Was this, when did she block you?
About 3 years ago.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay.
No. Like if it was, oh, yeah. You thought it was.
Yeah,
no.
I did. I was a bit.
No, you thought that was a Manchester.
Yeah, I was like about to punch you myself.
No.
She's
no.
An angel. She's an angel.
You leave Ariana.
Yeah.
No, I just kept. It wasn't trolling her. I loved messaging under because the fanatical kind of Instagram people under certain people is mental. Like the amount, like put a picture of her in a cup and it's like. Oops, sorry. A picture of her in a cup, and it would be like fucking 2 million likes instantly, and people going like blah blah blah. And I did the same thing to Taylor Swift, right? I tried to pretend I was trying to reconnect with Ariana because I had met her in the Gaeltacht. And I just kept writing about it. I was like, "You haven't seen you since Ranafast in 2008 and stuff." And these people are like, "You're a fucking liar!" Like people start going like. You're fucking. Eventually, I got blacked. Now blocked. Sorry, I did Taylor Swift as well on Instagram, and I was trying to say that I made up this story, and I was just writing. Didn't think it through. I was like, right, just write something as ridiculous came to your head, and I kept writing about how I had queued all night, me and my dog, to get a Taylor Swift in Denver, to get Taylor Swift's autograph backstage, and it was cold all night. And apparently, I just said that when she opened up, she blanked me and kicked my dog. Right? And I was demanding an apology, right? But all these people, all these fans were going like, "That's you're a liar." And I was like, "Denver 08, Google it."
Oh,
obviously something would come up.
Yeah.
And then like people started coming around and believing the story. So I started getting hundreds of messages going like, "You know what? I don't even care if she abuses animals. I still love her." But the big one though I got thing was Piers Morgan. That was the.
Wait.
Piers Morgan was a great day.
Yeah, what did he do? Huh?
It was a bit of a rough tweet, now I must say, on my part.
Okay.
It was after he was like, it was one of those days where like he was just being himself. He was slut shaming Susan Sarandon. I remember this.
No.
For wearing a low cut top or something, and I started getting really, really angry about it.
Good.
But like, it was in a bad mood. And I'm not trying to be like a, oh, the hero, because what I did was terrible.
Okay.
I remember I put up a public poll saying what was worse, Piers Morgan or the Holocaust.
Oh my God.
And like Piers obviously won, right?
Oh my God.
But it was like 700 votes and it was like 80% Piers, right? So then I tweeted him, right? Because like, you know, if you're losing that paper poll, you need to go like, sort yourself out, right? So he retweets it and going like, "You think this is funny? It's fucking, you know." And I'd be like, "All right, fair enough." But the best thing was like the comments under it. Like people, everyone hates Piers. You could say anything horrific, and everybody's on your side. You know, like you couldn't just do that to anybody.
You couldn't do that to Ariana Grande.
Yeah, yeah. I'd feel like an arsehole after it. But the best thing was like, he retweeted. And he's got like 7 million followers or something, so it gets out of hand very quickly. And then like. And everybody's so interactive with him because it's all like mad right-wing people or people who'd hate him. The best thing was I got a phone call. I wrote it, I tweeted it as well, but a news channel, or it was like either FM 104 or Dublin City rang me. And I was like, "Must have been a slow night, right?" And they were like, I tweeted it as well. They were like, "What is your comment on this?" And all I said was, "Don't look at me, I voted for the Holocaust." I thought it was a great reply.
Yeah.
But I ended up on like newspapers in Donegal. Because my mother saved them all. There's like one, a couple of them are like...
Local
like,
man denies Holocaust.
And I was like, "Look, this is getting way out of hand." It had like, the best thing is, you know when you do something wrong when it's like two pictures and one was like Piers Morgan. And then you know you're either not famous enough or you're the thing when it tells you where you're from. So right. It's like Piers Morgan, and then it goes Ryan Cullen from Ballandrate, Lifford. I'm the bad guy here. Yeah. I actually had fun with one of the Donegal papers, though. Because I rang them up because it said Piers Morgan this comedian, blah, 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 chose between, made a public thing between either Piers Morgan or the Nazi Holocaust, which were worse. So I rang them up pretending to sue them, going like, I didn't specify what Holocaust. I just entertained myself for an hour with some old woman in Donegal going, well, you implied it. And I was like, you're going down Donegal Daily. I'm still blocked from all their stuff. My mother's really, that was the part that hurt my mother the most.
Really?
That the local newspaper have me shunned.
Oh, she can get no more clippings now.
Yeah, exactly.
Showbiz, baby.
The reaction. That one was good fun. I must say, that one was good fun. I did it for a fringe show. Like,
really?
A
honest?
A lot of that's about it, yeah. A little flip chart with it all written out, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
oh, my gosh. So you've taken, actually, before I ask you that, the roast battle, you run a night with Jim Elliott in Whelan's, and it's basically where you get comedians to roast each other. For how many minutes is it?
It's usually like 5 bits each.
Okay.
So there's no real time limit on it, but, you know, 5, 6, each bit could have like a couple of jokes, but as long as you don't kind of jump on each other's punchlines.
I've been to them. I've watched them.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like a football fan at them because some of the comedians I don't like that are up there, they're getting killed. I'm like, kill them, kill them now. Bring up this thing. Whatever.
Me and Jim were talking about it. No, what happened was one of the Christmas shows, the Comedy Crunch Christmas show, Jim Elliott, instead of doing his normal set, just went up and ripped all the other comedians in the room.
Whoa.
This is kind of how it started. And I was like, that is amazing. We were all laughing about it. It was great fun. And they're like, oh, I'd love to do. Because you see kind of roast battles in like YouTube in New York. There's the two. And then the Comedy Central ones, they're different. Like, you know, where it's got like a big a dais and like one celeb. You know, we couldn't do that. Like, unless you got somebody from Boyzone or whatever.
Stephen Gately isn't available, so you'll have to.
But like we had like we fought.
Oh,
like,
shit! I'm very sad over that.
I know. I love Boyzone.
I do too, actually.
But we had like the first one we did. I actually thought it was just going to be a laugh. We were like, oh, we'll do it for a laugh. We'll book it upstairs. But like it sold out quite quickly. I was like, oh, people want to see each other, kill each other. You know, like. Rip into each other. And you could see some comedians and everybody. Usually we actually book people that like each other. Because it's usually easier and they're more whatever. Like, but there is a couple of people that are like, I want this person.
Yeah!
I'm like, oh, I'll see if that's okay.
Bring me the head.
Yeah, yeah. I'll not tell you who, but one guy, Ronan, Grace, I was like, do you have your stuff ready? You know, for tomorrow, and one of the people he had, he sent me a video back.
Wait there.
It was like I sent the video back, and it was like a 90s thriller. There was a whole his whole bedroom wall was like just notes on this person. Like,
oh no!
It was only missing the red string, and I was like, oh my god! Of course, he won. Like, he was so prepared.
Like a pentagram.
Yeah,
made
exactly.
With.
But like they really took off. Like I don't do them. We don't do them like every month because I feel like it would. Run out.
Yeah, there's not that many comedians that
as well.
You can.
Yeah. So we do it every like 3 months.
Yeah.
To like, you know, make it an event.
And you have to match them up, do you? Do you take it into account, like, say if there's a comedian that doesn't know anybody in particular, how do you kind of match up comedians with each other?
The hardest part is the booking. You do it with friends who know each other, and then there's a couple of people who are like, they know people, but you don't want people awkward as well or feeling like it's meant to be a good time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's one or two that get really out of hand.
Oh, mate.
And you're like, I'm at the side going like, do we jump in now, Jim?
Yeah.
You see some slaughterings at it.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's good fun overall. Like, if there's somebody that doesn't, usually we put two people that don't know if there is two people that want to do it but don't really have someone they really want to do, it sometimes works out great in that respect because they actually message each other sometimes going like, so can you tell me stuff that that may be embarrassing?
Like, is your dad still alive?
Yes.
Just that time.
You laugh at that. That was one of them.
No way.
Are your parents alive and are they happy together? like a pre-joke as if like, and you're like, oh, yes, I'm cool with that. You know, if they don't know each other.
That's what I ask before I do every interview as well.
Yeah.
Are your parents alive?
Are they happy together? It's such a terrible question.
Who would you like to see take part in a roast? Who would be your dream?
I'd love to. I like seeing some people that you wouldn't expect to see in a roast sometimes. Like, I know, like, there's people that really good, like, joke writers are usually very good at roasts because they, you know, it's you hit them with a punchline or whatever. I'd love to see someone in America, like John Mulaney.
Oh.
I'd love that because he's so nice and you wouldn't expect it, but he's such a good writer, I reckon he'd blow you away, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get like, good American, like, in Ireland, you'd mean, like, we have Cara Spain, I think. Up for the next one.
Oh my gosh.
And Carol is notorious for just roasting you at any
anyway,
possible.
In a car journey or
yeah,
whatever.
Anything, yeah, you'd be like, I'm going in.
Do you know that thing you hate about yourself? Well, here it is in a joke.
Yeah. The first time I met Carol Spain, I was at Electric Picnic backstage and I wasn't booked.
Right.
And it was like, you know, like they have the time thing. And yeah. I was up looking at it going like, I wonder who's on next. And Carol came up and just went, Ryan Cullen, no. And I was like, cheers, Carl. I had never met him. but he does that every time you meet him. So I reckon,
yeah,
I'm looking
but
forward
he's that
to
nice
that.
Everyone likes him.
Like I'm not entirely, we have a couple of names going around. Like it's hard one because like it's hard to get everyone. When one thing is, if one person then all of a sudden can't make it, it seems like the match is gone as well.
Yeah.
So we're trying on different people. I'd love to see a couple, working on a few.
Oh, cool. Do you know what I should ask you, actually, about Facts?
Okay,
Facts
yeah.
was a YouTube video that had over 1 million subscribers.
Yeah.
And you were one of the most popular characters on it.
Yeah.
And it's basically like an Irish people try... I did 2 videos of it.
Yeah.
I say Irish people try American soft drinks or Irish people
it
watch...
It is what it is.
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
But it stopped all of a sudden last month, even though it was like really popular.
Yeah. There was like a. I think it's. People ask me all the time, and like, what is the inside? What's the scoop? And all I know is the guy that owned it, who was kind of like, we don't really know. He would wander around the office. Like, I think he just went bust somehow.
Right.
I don't know how he did it, but that's what we were told, in a way. We had an idea because all of a sudden, like, you were like, there's no videos this week, and I was like, what's going on here? And then we just got notice of whatever, you know.
And it mattered a lot to some people. Like, I saw like there was lots of like messages and stuff.
Yeah. There's people. I got Snapchats of people crying.
What?
Yeah, people messaged me like
crying.
I didn't expect people were so into like tasting biscuits, like. But if people are like crying, I'm like, oh, you don't know what to say back. You feel like you have to reply to those ones as well.
Yeah, you can't ignore.
Don't worry, something else is coming along. You know, I got into it like a lot of people, and it was really sad for a lot of the contributors as well. People that actually like, for some people and a lot of the comedians, it was another thing. It wasn't their main thing. Like I got into it by pure accident.
Yeah,
it was video 3 before I knew it was on YouTube.
Oh, really?
I got into it by Ronan.
You just thought some lad was pointing a camera at you.
Ronan Grace came down to me. I lived with him.
Yeah.
And he said to me, this is how I got into Facts. He goes, Ryan, come here. There's a lad missing. I need you for an American history video. That's all he said, right? And I was like, okay. So I came up to this place down by the Guinness storehouse, and we went in, and they were like, there's just some guy going like with a picture like George, who's this, and what do you know about him? So I didn't know it was a humor thing. So I was like, I was just talking about George Washington. It's George Washington. He did that. I didn't know if it was for TV or whatever. Like I came back the second time, same thing, Ronan, in the last minute. Quick, we need you for eating biscuits today. I was like, what the fuck? Third video, I was like, Ronan, where are these going? And he was like,
some guy's private account.
They're like, yeah, exactly, yeah. Third time I saw it was like YouTube, I was like, all right, I'll do that. You know, that's handy money. It's only 20 minutes, you know. You're just eating thing. But, like, God, it spiraled all of a sudden. At one stage, it just, like, started getting hundreds and thousands very quickly. And I was like, oof. Yeah. Americans love it.
People get very angry with you for not liking a product.
People go, is that a character? And I'm like, no. Which is even more offensive. They'd be like, oh, what do you think of that peanut butter sandwich? And I'd be like, ah, sorry, it's just bland. And then you just get like angry messages from like people in Texas going, how fucking dare you? If I ever find you, I'm going to kill you. You and your stupid punchable face. And I'd be like, they'll get very angry on the internet. I do love that though.
Really,
that's the worst, you know.
Do you kind of like get your energy from that? Would that be?
Well, and they're doing what I did to Taylor Swift, I suppose. You know, so
yeah.
You know, like it's kind of like it's a little circle for me. So
let the hate run through.
Yeah, so. People get you get. I got like a big again for the Fringe show last year. I had like a big compilation of like my favorite horrific shit people were saying to you.
Right.
But people get really upset if you don't like the food from their local, you know, their area. Like, whoa, we're trying a steak from Pennsylvania. And I'd be like, it's all right. It's a bit dry, you know.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense because it would have been just how the cook made it.
Yeah.
You know? And then you just get like, how dare you? My grandmother died 40 years cooking this type of stuff. I'm reading it going, it doesn't even make sense, you know.
It's like you kicked their grandmother, in the stones.
Yeah, I did love it eventually. I did, it was good fun, you know.
I had to stop doing it. I did it twice, and I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is fun. You just sit in a room, and you just chat shite, and you make jokes while you're, like, drinking fucking sodas from America.
Yeah.
But I looked at the comments, and it was like, get that fucking land whale off the channel.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to do this anymore.
It's not like people go like, there was, I think it ended up like the videos, they had like a counter of your videos and the videos I was in, they were like, that's 370 million views. It's like 1.4 million subscribers and stuff, right?
Whoa.
And I'd be like, geez, that's mad numbers, but you don't really get anything from it. All you actually ever got was abuse. You get like three randomers at rant if you hold a show that are Facts fans, and then they're really shocked at what you're saying on stage. They're like, "Ooh,
where's his cookie material?"
Yeah, I was here for the sandwiches. But it meant like a lot of people were just like YouTubers. You know, it's very different. I think it's a real because there's YouTubers and then there's like comedians that are on YouTube. Just having a laugh.
Yeah. I could notice that. I think it was like, I ended up watching it, like, just recreationally.
Right, I never watched it.
I get into YouTube, like, do you know where you're just like, I can't pick at on Netflix, but I'll just watch this lad do a video essay about how Goodfellas is a good film.
Yes.
For 20 minutes. And then you're like, fuck it, I'll go watch Irish people try Polish food.
Like, the ones I enjoyed weren't the trying biscuits because it was the same stuff.
Yeah.
That's dry. Somebody throws in a phrase about Guinness. People love it. People are losing their mind in America. You know, it's usually Americans. But then I did like the trying stuff, trying to do different things that I wouldn't have normally done.
Yeah. You got a back sack and crack wax.
Do you know what my favorite thing about the sack, back, and crack wax? I got that done in Dame Street. My favorite thing about that is I did it with two other comedians, Davey Riley, but Emmanuel Adama was so funny during it. So we were like, we stayed in the room, to be honest.
We just sat
down more so we didn't see like a full eyeful or anything, you know. But Eman got so nervous, he'll deny this, he got so nervous, he just started doing material to the person waxing. So the person went to wax him, he was like, fuck the tooth fairy. And the guy was like, what are you doing? Sweat pounding off. He was like, oh, my father, you know, he never loved me when I was younger. The guy was like, what is going on?
I bet they hear that a lot when they get waxed.
Me and Davey were screaming laughing in the corner. Oh, that was painful. That was an ordeal. My favorite one was we did drag in the jar.
You did drag. I watched that like live. I saw you.
That was great. I was the worst.
You were the worst.
There was Do you know what the worst thing about that was? We were all in all day, and I went straight in. And Veda, who is like one of the lead drag queens, was like, "I want him."
Yeah.
And I was like, "All right." did the whole thing, hours of preparation, you know, the whole backstage stuff and everything, getting ready for this. And they're like doing this dance routine. I was like, everybody's going to be on the same page. But I went out there going like, and now the other two were giving it like 200%. I was like, they sold me out.
They were.
Absolutely. Veda, my drag queen, was furious. She's still angry when she sees me. I see her on the street and she's just like, you were such a disappointment. She says, you look fantastic, but you moved like a cow. And I was like, oh. The other two were giving it loads. I went off stage when I was removed quite quickly, eliminated. The other two were like, dude, giving it Britney.
You looked like you were on a stag party and you did cross dressing for the crack and you fought better of it once you were in it. You looked you looked like someone like being at a stag in Temple Bar where they put a wig on and they're like, whoa!
Oh, Jesus, look at it. Yeah.
The drag, you didn't bring it. No, I
was way out of my comfort zone.
No. Davey Riley was looking like he was having a great time.
Davey was giving himself pep talks just before. There was a mirror. There was a big mirror. He was like, right, you've been waiting for this. And that was just before. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. And Dermot's a really good actor.
Yeah.
So he can get into any character, you know, like. And then I was sitting there going like, oh, God, I don't know how to dance. And as soon as it started, as soon as we hit that stage, I was like, oh no, I'm so far behind these two. But
did you have to get a tuck?
Yeah.
How did you tuck? How did this one?
It was painful and it took a while and it was like in behind a thing where she was just like, Veda was just like, he's like, do you have it up? Just, it doesn't have to be that tight, you know, you're not a professional. Just here's the black tape and we're taping your genitals up behind yourself. Is
so you have to put your balls up you, don't you?
You can do that.
Yeah.
But we were just more like, find a safe place rather than go the full.
It was like the stabilizers version of a tuck. Just balls out, like they're stabilizers.
Oh, well, I kind of went for it and I was like, nah. I don't think I can walk after this if I did it. Yeah, that was good fun. It took like 3 hours to do all the makeup and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's great fun.
Oh, wow. Well, Jamie, this has been actually so great chatting.
Felt like the electricity just nearly went out.
I felt like there was such an electricity between us that the lights couldn't take it. Do you know what I mean? You're taking over the Comedy Cellar with Davey Riley now.
Yeah.
So that's new blood. I mean, how long was it under the last proprietor?
I actually don't know. It must have been, because it was there the whole time I was a comedian. So I think apparently it was like 10 years around that, anyway, definitely.
And it's supposed to be like every 2 years, new comedians are given it.
Yeah, they're supposed to pass it kind of on. Yeah. You're supposed to like, I don't know what the, there's. It's like an unwritten rule.
Yeah.
It's like, I've heard that. Nobody's actually told me that in my head, but I'm like,
no one's told me that either.
Like the young, but then I hear from the older guys that was like, they're like, oh, you know, you get this now, or, you know what I mean? We'll pass it on.
So what kind of responsibility do you have with this new comedy club under you? It's the longest running comedy club in Ireland.
Yeah, it's 30 years. I'm actually younger than the club.
Wow. So
we're the first people that have it that's younger than the club, you know.
Oh my gosh.
It comes like with a bit of responsibility. It's not like running your own gig that you started. You feel like, God, I can't run this into the ground. You know?
You don't want to be the last.
There's so much history. Yeah, you don't want to be the last. You know, when you see the list of the people that did their first gigs there, and you're like, oh, it's Dylan Moran and Dara O'Brien, and you know, people like, and you're like, oh God, God, you know. At the start when we got it, it started quite slow. It's starting to really pick up now. It's actually pretty full most Wednesdays now, and Tuesdays are even picking up. And, you know, and it's great at the moment. It's fucking great. I'm delighted at the moment. So.
Cool.
Hopefully it keeps up and gets better.
Yay!
Yeah.
Ryan, it was an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
This week's show is sponsored by nobody. Although, for the last few podcasts, I've had Kinvara Skincare sponsor me. And, This is just an actual anecdote about Kinvara Skincare. My mum stole the face cream. So she did. I caught her. I could smell it off her. It was definitely Kinvara. So, yeah, you have two new fans. Thanks so much for sponsoring me earlier. Yeah, and now on to the credits part. Thanks so much to Sarah Garvey for production, to Bobby Ahern of No Monster Club for doing the music, and thank you so much to William Conway, who did the artwork for the podcast. Alan Bennett from Headstuff, always a great helper. Yeah, and now the credits are done, I'll just have a chat. I had a TV show out this week. I had two TV shows. One was called Culture Club, and it was on at 9:30 on RTE2, and you can catch that on the RTE player. That was brilliant. Brilliant fun to make. I've met so many lovely, cool people, and there were so many people that didn't make it onto the show that I interviewed. I interviewed Daniel O'Donnell, who looks incredible. His skin is amazing. I want to know what he uses. Maybe it's Kinvara skincare. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. But he looked amazing. Nathan Carter as well. I met him at Holy Cross Festival there 2 years ago. I spent ages traveling around Ireland making that TV show. One of my favorite places to visit that didn't make it onto the show was Ballydehob, specifically Levi's Pub, run by this fella called Joe, who has a pig farm as well, and he let me sit on his pig. His pig was very big, by the way, but it could take me, and you know, it trotted along for a few meters, and then I hopped off because I was like, this is not a good look for both of us. But Levi's Pub in Ballydehob was one of the best pubs I've ever been to. It was packed, and he seems to get great music acts on each time, and I suppose this is my chance to tell you about all the bits that didn't make it in that I loved. Also, I was in Mayo, and I was in Mayo. I'll check what the name of the town was. It's where the big cattle mart is. Anyway, and there you have a ham sandwich van out the back. And I made ham sandwiches for all these farmers, but they go with such regularity that the proprietor of the ham sandwich van knew by looking at a person whether they took mayonnaise or mustard or did they have scallions. Or it was a really, really great experience. Also went to Kerry, and there's this house that's owned by somebody. I think they're scattered around Ireland, and the whole point of it anyway is that you can't drink or take drugs in the house. But it's an open house for a party, so people have sessions, and there's so much tea and sandwiches there, and people do jokes, do songs. Everybody kind of listens to a person doing their party trick, and I had to do stand-up. And it was mostly an older crowd, but that was great. There were so many bits of crevices of Ireland that I spotted that I loved. Leash is beautiful, and I didn't think it was. Not that I thought it was ugly, but I just didn't think of Leash as a picturesque place. It's so incredible. I went to the Mary of Dunloe Festival, and that didn't make it in either. And what I loved about Mary of Dunloe was that they have a schedule for the week. Mary of Dunloe Festival is like Rosa Tralee Festival, which is a pageant contest for women. And Mary of Dunloe is a bit more low-key than the Rose Tralee Festival, but it's still great. What I loved is on their itinerary for the week, they have like a parade, all the typical things that you would have in a pageant week, but they also had two trips to taste the Orient in two different Chinese restaurants in Dunloe. There's also a Daniel O'Donnell Museum in Dunloe, if you ever want to go there. There's also, in the Barack Obama Plaza, if you ever go to the Barack Obama Plaza, go upstairs where the extra toilets are. You can have a look at the pint glass that Barack Obama drank from. So, yeah. I think I've given you a whole tour of everything and given you some background there. But I also should say, if you're listening to the end now, I got a tour, and the tour is finishing up very soon. I'm excited. There's only 3 dates left, and it's with Julie J, and she's been a fantastic comedian. I'm really excited to see what she does in the future. You should go see it. The shows are on the 19th, and that's in the Whale Theatre in Greystones. And then the 20th, it's in the Riverbank, Kildare. And the 21st is in Waterford. Let me just check that 2 seconds. Yeah, that's correct. Also, if you live in Newcastle or Glasgow or know somebody that does, I'm doing a gig in the Stand in Newcastle and Glasgow. And this is going to be previews for my Edinburgh show. My Edinburgh show is on sale with Gilded Balloon. It's called Warrior Princess, and it's going to be a bit different to the show that I'm touring now, because I kind of feel different about the show. There's a bit I want to expand on, and I feel with time I'll be able to do that. I'm kind of, there's bits I want to get rid of as well. But at the moment I want to tour, when I'm touring with the Irish show, I'm kind of keeping it as it is, because it's good as it is, and I don't want to use like a tour as a preview. But so I'm going to do previews over in Newcastle, and that's going to be, Newcastle is going to be on the 17th of June, and that's at 5 o'clock. It's during the day, so that's a Sunday. And also Glasgow Stand is going to be on the 24th of June, and that's at 1 o'clock during the day. Yeah, I'm also doing the Cat Laughs as well. And you can catch my stint on Big Week on the Farm on the Player if you feel that way inclined as well. I touched the cow's nipple and it felt warm. That sounds like a Katy Perry song. Right, I'll chat to you soon. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.